the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be and whatever your condition of the darkness or lightness may be. I'm Art Bell and this is Coast to Coast AM, literally sweeping around the world now, welcoming KBUL in Billings, Montana, where we take a big jump from the power we had to 970 on the dial and 5 kilowatts full time. That's KBUL, Billings, Montana, 970 on the dial. Twist it over there right now, 5 big kilowatts. You'll hear that coming from a long ways away. All right, I think that it's the biggest story of the year. I was going to come on and say biggest alternative story of the year, but not really. I think it's just plain the biggest story of the year. The mainstream media is missing it. Well, I'm not, and I'm not letting go of it. It's the Chobotan crop glyphs, if you want to call them that, crop circles, but really more glyphs. Briefly, in 1974, SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, sent out a signal which, when digitally converted, appears to be a sort of a glyph, if you will. And we sent that signal out with trillions of watts going into deep space, you know, in hopes that somebody would receive it and answer in some way. Well, in a crop field in Great Britain a couple of weeks ago, two crop circles appeared. One, a face, unmistakably a face. They're on my website right now. And the other, very apparently, an answer to the signal sent out from Arecibo in 1974, now tonight. I think that most people would render the opinion right now of Colin Andrews that he has become a skeptic about crop circles and animal, well, not animal mutilations. There I am with Linda. Crop circles in general, as he made a statement that was widely thought to mean, he says, that 80% of the crop circles out there are fake. That's what a lot of people think Colin Andrews said, and he did, but with a very important qualifier, which we'll get to in a segment coming up. So Colin Andrews, who's certainly thought to be a skeptic, if not, as some people are saying, debunker of crop circles, is going to be here, along with Richard C. Hoagland, a one-time advisor to NASA, as you well know, a science advisor to Walter C. Cronkite, and the Engstrom Science Award winner. So, that's what's coming up. We're going to catch you up on what's happened in these wheat fields in England, and then we're going to give you breaking news about what we now know about these, well, what do you want to call them? Crop glyphs, crop circles, an answer from perhaps a deep space from another civilization somewhere. Yes, that's really what we're talking about here. So, and here's another thing. Most people are saying, look, this was created from the air or from space. Now, if that's the case, whether it came from ET or any other source, that makes it one of the biggest stories of the year. If it's government disinformation and it was done from satellite or from the air, that's one of the bigger stories of the year, wouldn't you say? Why would our government or the British government be doing something like that? One thing we know, it wasn't done on the ground. Stand by, in a few minutes, you'll know too. Well, I've got some pretty...
Want more TV for your money? Call Dish Network and get 117 channels for a shocking $9 a month when you buy any system for $199 or more. It's just $9 a month for the first year for great channels like Disney, TNT, ESPN, and more. Plus, installation is free. Try getting that from your cable company. For the most TV for just $9 a month, Dish is it. Call 1-800-333-DISH. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice.
Thank you.
$52.59. Folks, I have personally benefited from what's going on with gold, and I suggest strongly you look into it if you're sick of seeing the interest rates just a plunge and to the point where your money is beginning to turn on you. That's a good way to put it, isn't it? 888-474-4259. Now, how would you like to actually begin to look younger? I mean it. Look younger. To see your skin begin to smooth out, to see the wrinkles begin to really honestly go away, not get covered or obscured in some other manner, but I mean really begin to go away. More energy, a diminished a wrinkling of the skin, enhanced immune function, increased exercise performance, improved memory, sharper vision. It sounds like you're getting younger, huh? Well, guess what? You are. Improved cholesterol profile, regeneration of the vitals like the heart, lungs, liver, kidneys. Yes, younger and younger. It's human growth hormone, and in this case, it's ultimate HGH, even better because this produces the same HGH, only it's your own. That's right. It's your HGH, your human growth hormone. All this does is cause your body to produce more of your own. So, you begin to get younger. Want to try? It's about $33 a month. Now, that compares to about $100 a month for other similar competitive products. So, call my good friends at Great American Products right now and order Ultimate HGH at 1-800-557-4627. Once again, that's 1-800-557-4627. All right, here we go. From the mountains of New Mexico, where there's been a lot of thunder like that lately, here is Richard C. Hoagland, who is going to set the stage for an incredible story. Listen to the following very closely. Richard, welcome.
Good evening, Art.
Great to have you back again, Richard. This story has laid dormant whilst I was away, and I think it's the biggest story of the year, if not decade or millennium or whatever. You want to catch everybody up on what happened, please?
Well, I think it could be potentially the biggest story. It's a sleeper in terms of mainstream media, but as you all know, you know, Art is first on these things, and then they follow. Remember the USA Today breaking of the Phoenix Lights right after we did one show?
That's right.
You know, and it had been, what, 2 or 3 months since the event had happened? It was March, and it was June when you and I did the show, and the next day it was all over everywhere. So
yeah, it's really curious the way that developed.
Wasn't that interesting? Anyway, to sum up, first of all, I want to thank somebody. Mike Barra, who is my colleague in crime over here at Enterprise and our webmaster. Scotty got kicked upstairs at Starfleet, so we had to get someone else, you know?
Yes.
He did an incredible job tonight and formatted and put up both parts of an extremely extensive, in-depth analysis of the Chill Bolton glyphs on Enterprise, which is linked right there under tonight's guest in program in Art Bell's site.
I should tell everybody right now, go to artbell.com, go to tonight's guest, Richard Hoagland's name, and click on, what should they go to tonight, number three?
I would go to number one.
Number one, all right. All right.
Because that's kind of a good overview.
All right. And if you want a visual aid as we talk about this, do that. And go ahead, Richard.
Well, all right. So we've got this extremely extensive analysis, which is everyone's leisure. They can go and read, and there's going to be lots of points we're going to talk about in the next hour or so or 90 minutes that will, make them want to go and get background. But the bottom line is that on August 14th, a couple of weeks ago, the fields outside of the Chill Bolton Radio Telescope, which is a 1960s vintage 25-meter, that's 80-foot dish.
A big one.
Big one, used for astronomy, used for weather, used for radio communications experiments. Had a thing appear in the field across the fence, a few hundred feet away, on the morning of the 14th. And Colin Andrews, who was also our guest tonight, and had done extensive work on a glyph that appeared in that same field a year ago, was able to get a guy named Darcy Ladd, who was the manager of Chill Bolton, on the phone a few days ago, and confirmed that this glyph appeared literally overnight, just like all the most interesting ones seem to do. And it is, maybe 100 and some feet wide and 180 feet long, and it looks like a face. It eerily reminds people
it is
of
a face. Richard, it is a face.
Well, yeah, it looks like a face. It is a face.
It is a face.
It's in a frame, which I think is very important. We get into the details of why we think the frames are important in the article. But it reminds a lot of people, it reminded you, because I heard you on the air, it's on Mars.
Of course.
Now, we have had analyses done, and we have those posted in the article. A guy named Mueller from Germany,
mm-hmm.
who's the surveyor that you talked to.
Yes.
Andreas Mueller, he has actually done a very careful point-by-point comparison with the 75A72, which is the low sun angle Viking shot, and there are some remarkable points of correspondence.
There are also
some points of difference.
Right. No matter, though, what you believe, there can be no question. You look at it on my website, it's a face.
Image
period.
Number one at the top of the tonight's crop glyphs, crop circles, you know, images.
Yeah, you don't have to wonder about this, folks.
It looks like a face.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What Colin's going to talk to is the way it was created, the structure underneath the crop that was made to lie down, and you're going to hear that there's some pretty sophisticated stuff going on here. Well, a few days later, about a week later, on the 19th, if you scan down image number two, and there you can see the telescope in the bottom right-hand portion pointed up where they park these things. They point them, you know, straight up. Across the fence, in that little bend there in the fence, is this other thing that appeared about, 5 days after the first one, which was initially called the Persian carpet, because it looked like, you know, a Navajo rug, Persian carpet, whatever. And you can see in the image there are some writing. There's some kind of iconography, glyphs, whatever.
This didn't dawn on everybody. In other words, what it was, it didn't dawn on everybody right away.
Oh, no, because you can't really see these things as anything from the telescope. Even if you climbed up on the top of the telescope, they were just able to see there had been something created in the field. In order to really see what you're seeing, you've got to get an airplane or a helicopter. And because the hoof and mouth and a lot of other reasons, there's been fewer overflights of some of these remote areas. This is an area that about two hours, I understand, west of London. So it's in an isolated region of England that isn't normally frequented by crop circle investigators. And it took a few days, you know, for it to finally wind up as a kind of a cause celeb. So if you go down now to image number three, you'll see a moderate view taken by a very talented gal named Lucy Pringle, who hangs out of Cessnas and takes crop grid pictures.
So she went up in
a small airplane.
Right.
And took this picture, and you can see that it now really looks like it has writing in it. And a lot of us, you know, when we saw this, we said, oh, my God.
Oh, that's right.
It looks like the Arecibo message of 1974.
Sent out with trillions of watts from Puerto Rico to deep
space. Radiant power, 20 trillion watts.
Mm-hmm. And the message, give us a very brief overview of what was sent in 1974.
Well, if you go down to image number four, on the right-hand side is the glyph of the actual message that was transmitted.
Right, and describe for those who don't have computers, top to bottom, what it is in the message. In other words, SETI sat down, decided to send a message.
Well, SETI didn't sit down. SETI didn't exist at that time. This was Frank Drake, Carl Sagan, and a bunch of guys and gals at Arecibo. Basically, it was Drake's idea.
Yeah, the predecessors to SETI.
Yeah, it was the predecessor of what we now know as SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. But this was just an ad hoc effort. Coming off, by the way, the interesting idea that Eric Burgess and I gave to Carl back in 71, which was put a message on Pioneer 10. So we kind of created this growth industry, and when the ceremonies to resurface the Arecibo 1,000-foot telescope came to the fore in November of 74, Frank Drake and Carl got their heads together at a meeting in Hawaii, it turns out, and said, wouldn't it be a neat idea if we sent something somewhere that basically kicked off the idea that we could talk to E.T. by telephone.
And so we did. And so if you would describe what we have pictured here.
Okay. On the top line, you basically have, this is all in binary. So this picture is basically the product of two prime numbers. A prime number is divisible by one and by itself. And these two primes are 23 and 73. So it's a grid produced 23 across and 73 down. And the idea is that they sent this dot, dash, dot, dash, dot, dash
right.
for about 3 minutes. And intelligent extraterrestrials were supposed to realize that they eventually put it together as this 23 by 73 grid, and they ink in the ones and they leave the zeros blank, and you wind up with a little pictogram, a little picture.
And that's what we've got on the website. You need to see this, folks. It's
really
important.
Yeah, and on the top you've got the decimal equivalent, you know, numbers 1 to 10 of the binary, And then the next line, you've got atomic elements that are in DNA, things like hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus.
Right.
Third line, fourth line, and fifth line are basically nucleic acids that are involved in DNA, our, you know, code of life. And then there's this vertical spine, which is the nucleotide sequence of human DNA. And on both sides, there are these strange little curved lines, which is the classic, infamous, famous double helix discovered by Watson and Crick, for which they got the Nobel Prize in 62. Below that spine, there is a humanoid-looking figure, which a guy called Mr. Pinhead, because he has a very tiny head compared to a very robust body. And to his left is a binary equivalent of a population of those guys on the planet they live on. And to the right is the size binary. He's about 5'9.5" tall compared to the wavelength of the transmission, which was 12.6 centimeters.
Telling ATs how big the average human is.
Yeah. How big a human is.
All right.
Then under that, there was a line which is now not binary, it's graphic, which is basically the solar system. Starting on the right, you have a big block with the sun, and then the little guys next to it are Mercury, Venus. The raised one up toward the human figure is Earth, indicating that's where this guy hangs out. Then you've got Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
All right.
And at the very bottom, that curved line is the telescope, pointing down.
The telescope that sent this signal.
Sent the signal. And there's an M, which is actually a ray trace of the beam as it broadcasts this into space. Away from Earth, by the way, I was understood the other day. If you look at the Earth, the telescope is pointed away from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very bottom, there's more binary, indicating the size of the telescope, again, with reference to the transmitted wavelength, which, of course, the ET guys would have because they would know where to tune their receiver. And
so all in all,
pick up the signal.
A brilliant message in a lot of ways. It may have its flaws, but generally brilliant to send to ET to describe what and who we are, the very basics of who we are, a message.
Yep.
Then 2 weeks ago, God,
this English crop field,
yeah.
This answer appears, because as you compare, now go to image four.
Right.
And compare the left image with the right image, you'll see that it's a lot of it's there, but there's some interesting differences. And the
at first glance, folks, it's identical. But as you sit and stare at what happened in this wheat field, it's not quite identical to the signal transmitted by Arecibo in 74. There are subtle differences, and you've pretty well mapped them out, right, Richard?
Yeah, and the more we looked, with the help of a lot of interesting people, I mean, this has been one heck of a fun project, because there's some very bright guys out there. There's a guy I'm going to talk about in the next hour or so named Dustin Brand, who I really want to tip my hat to, because he has, you know, done a lot of detective work and legwork and has helped us figure out, I believe, a major part of what this thing is trying to tell us, regardless of who it comes from. We have to separate these two questions. What does this return message say, separated from who is trying to say it?
Well, I said at the top of the hour, and I say it again, I think it's the biggest story of the year for the following reason. A, I believe this could not have been made on the ground, that it was made from the air, and I think many have come to that same conclusion.
Well, Colin, of course, is, you know, did field work here. He spent like 5 days last week literally in this field and a couple of others looking in great detail, and he's got photographs and he has measurements and he's got, you know, ground truth, and he's done interviews, and he's going to have some real first-hand information.
Okay, that's coming up. But what I'm saying, Richard, and I wonder if you agree, is the following. If it was made from the air, then either it's them or it's us. And when I say us, I mean as in U.S. military or British military or...
As in the intel crowd.
That's right.
Black Ops intel. And Colin and I are in
either way, it's got to be the big story of the
year. No, I am... You know, I said from the beginning that I didn't think this was ET because it's too human a message. If we'll get into it with Colin, the history of the crop circle phenomenon has been one of mystery, ineffable, ambiguity. It hasn't been straightforward. These two things, the face and the answer from Arecibo, are very human. They're very like we would do. And that initially made me very suspicious that it was us. But when we say us, this is not what Seth Shostak thinks, a bunch of college kids with nothing better to do than drink a, you know, half a bottle of beer and go out and have fun in the field.
Yes.
This is someone with extraordinarily sophisticated knowledge, with an extraordinarily interesting agenda, and apparently with equal technology to match, that at this time in 2001 wants us to think in a certain direction because it's time. And that's part of the detailed story, which is in our article on Enterprise, we're going to get into later on in this coming hour.
All right. Basically, the differences are...
The key differences are you got more spirals on the left-hand side of the DNA than you do on the right.
Apparent triple helix.
Apparent triple helix.
Yes.
You've got a big-headed alien-type guy instead of pinhead.
Or human, depending on what you believe this is.
Well, it looks to a lot of people like the, quote, classic gray.
Yeah, we went from a pinhead, you know, the depiction of a human on the right on the Arecibo signal is like a stick man who, you know, had a few good dinners.
Uh-huh.
And on the left, it's a big, round head.
It could be somebody with a very big ego.
I'll restrain myself. All right, and any other differences?
Well, the solar system line. If you look where our solar system is on the one on the right, and the one on the left here, you've got three raised planets, which indicate that whoever these guys are, they're claiming that we live on three planets in our, quote, solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very bottom, and now what you can do is slide your cursor down and kind of straddle the screen so you see image 5, and you keep part of image 4 just the bottom at the top of your screen.
All right, Richard, hold that thought as we have people going to image 5. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. Colin Andrews just ahead. A lot of people wanting to know what it is Colin's going to have to say about this, because he's made some pretty wild statements about 80% of the crop circles out there being fake. We'll get into all that. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
I'm feeling all right. Little guy hanging on a Saturday night. Come walk me. Running down a
You are on the air on the international line. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm from Scotland.
You are the first caller from Scotland. Where are you, please?
I'm in Madrid, Spain.
In Madrid, Spain? On the international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Mario from South Africa, Cape Town.
On the international line, you're on the air. Where are you, please?
Oslo, Norway.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Coast to Coast and worldwide.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. You never know who will drop by.
And right now, I think he's in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And he's Willie Nelson. And Willie, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing real well. I shouldn't have to introduce him. This is Leonard Nimoy. Leonard, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Everybody knows who George Carlin is. Here he is, George Carlin. Hi, George.
Hello, Art. How are you?
Quite well, thank you. Jane Seymour.
Hi.
Hi. You don't know me, but I love you. Here he is, Merle Haggard. Merle.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you. Here is Gordon Lightfoot. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art. I'm very pleased to be with you this evening.
Here's John Voight. John, welcome.
Hi. Art, how are you?
I'm just fine.
I don't know why do people say how are you?
Art Bell and special guest George Carlin.
I love an earthquake. I love a bigger earthquake. They're never as big as I'd like.
No, we need a 25. I think of it as an amusement park ride, Art. It's such a wonderful thing to realize you have absolutely no control.
George, a 25 would turn entire continents over.
Ah, now you're talking, Art.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, weeknights on this station. From the archives of Coast to Coast AM, Art Bell describes a rather unfortunate on-air incident.
I've got next to me what's called a cart rack. The part of it came apart during the break, and a bunch of carts fell down. I thought I would fix it. I ran into the other room, and got a container of super glue. So I took a pair of scissors right here, and I cut the top off the super glue to get it to float. Well, it flowed all right. It flowed all over me. And I think that I've glued my lips together. This is the dumbest thing that I've ever done by a country mile. I've actually glued my lips together. I think I ripped part of my lip off. I did. In my panic, I ripped part of my lip off. Actually, a little piece of my lip in the ashtray here.
If you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter right now, you'll see some of the most recent crop circles that have Art Bell all worked up. We may actually have made contact with extraterrestrials. See the pictures in another great issue of After Zark. The September issue features a guest editorial from Dreamland host Whitley Strieber, a picture of the stunning Juliaset fractal crop circle, Dr. Sky updates, quickening news, of course, subliminal seduction, angels, and much more. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505, and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. The number once again, 1-888-727-5505, or subscribe online at artbell.com. Hit the library link to the secure server to order your subscription to After Dark.
So many people, but it's got no soul, and it saves me so long. Find out you were wrong when you started, held everything. You said that it was so easy. You used to say that it was so easy. But you're trying now. One more year and then you'll be happy. But you're crying now.
Wanna take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may recharge at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to recharge on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening. I don't need to remember all that. We cover so many time zones around the world. Colin Andrews coming up shortly. Richard C. Hoagland here. The story of the year, I say, and maybe a lot more. Either we've had an answer from deep space from someone else, or our own government is doing things in the air or in space. But why would they do something like that? Maybe we'll get an answer to that question, maybe not tonight, but we've got breaking news for you on all of this, so stay right where you are.
Hi, this is Bob Crane from the C. Crane Company, and I'd like to tell you about our CC radio. The CC radio will pick up more stations than you ever had before, and the stations you listen to now will come in clearer, and the sound is rich and truthful for the best human voice possible. Popular science confirms it is the ultimate tabletop radio, and I personally guarantee that the CC radio is the best radio you can own for news, talk, and sports. You can learn more about the CC radio by getting our free catalog that tells all about the CC radio, plus dozens of other unique items. You can give us a call right now at 800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
The CC radio is just $159.95, including shipping. That number again, for more information or the free C. Crane Company catalog, is 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. And on the internet at ccradio.com.
Da 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 da.
right, let's get it on with this. Richard C. Hoagland back on. Colin Andrews waiting to come on in just a second. Richard, you want to introduce Colin and sort of tell everybody, I guess, how Colin got in a little trouble with some of the people out there who study crop circles.
Well, I'm really hoping in front of this extraordinarily interested 20 million people who listen to you are, we can clear this up, because this statement, I tried to get hold of Keith just before we came on the air and his line was busy, but there is a gross misunderstanding of what Colin said. He has never, ever said that 80% of all the crop circles that have ever been made are made by human beings doing it with boards and chains.
Why were you saying that?
Because they took out of context what he said specifically referring to the entire season, which had to do with a tremendous upsurge in commercialization. Companies formed in England, hired by TV documentaries, and people to make crop circles for Coors and all kinds of other people.
Yes.
And those are the ones he was referring to. The larger phenomenon, and if I'm misstating that, he will correct me, obviously.
Yeah, we'll let him say all
the larger phenomenon, which he's been investigating for 15 or 20 years, most of it is inexplicable, exquisitely mysterious, important.
Well, we'll let him say that for himself. Also, he just got back from Great Britain. He was in
last
this
week when you put me in a very interesting place last week, because you asked me point blank, is he going over there to look at the crop circles?
Yeah, well, everybody's expectation, because of what he said, or is said to have said, would be that he would go over there to debunk this particular crop circle.
Again, that was spin put on by somebody.
All right.
He did was to go over to investigate.
Well, look, we've got him, Richard, so let him say what he did.
He's got news.
Colin, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Art.
You're back
where? Pleasure to be with you.
You're in Connecticut?
Yes, I am, up on the East Coast.
Okay, so you heard about this. Well, first of all...
Hi, Colin. Good evening to you, Richard.
Clear up your own statement. Everybody said, well, he said 80% of the crop circles are fake.
That's right. It's been, I have to say, a pretty extraordinary last 12 months as a result of this. It just seems that having made the statement on BBC television that went out certainly across Great Britain regularly for several days, actually, it seemed that very few were actually listening to what I had said.
Mm.
And it was, and I thank you for the opportunity to state it clearly and perhaps a little bit more concisely this time, that approximately 80% of the formations that I investigated in England, and only England, during the year 1999 and the year 2000 had all the hallmarks of the human hand. A great deal of evidence that would certainly satisfied me. Much of it actually on film. We had private detective agencies looking at people that we had suspected of making them. But that was only, as I say, during that two-year period. It left just under a quarter, as Richard rightly said, completely inexplicable during that two-year period. And I am certainly not, let me make it loud and clear, it's never been on my list to debunk anything. I'm an engineer myself. People that know me know I'm an honest person. And my job has been now full-time for nearly 12 years, two decades part-time, of looking at this phenomenon to try and uncover what on earth is going on. And I would say, Art, it didn't take the last two patterns for me to realize that there's something extremely profound occurring on our planet. And, you know, you were saying this is the story of the week, the month, the millennium. It's I agree with you. I think it's been the story of the last three decades that nobody's been listening to. And it's still with us. It stand by for the next year or so.
Well, we have clearly turned a corner. I mean, all of the crop circles previously were, in my mind as a commoner, beautiful, absolutely, beautiful, fractals at times, and just really interesting. But boy, when the face came along and then this answer to Arecibo Island, oh my God.
That's right.
We've turned a corner here. Now, you just got back from that field. You got an opportunity to scoot over there, I guess, and take a look at this. What in the heck have you found?
Well, what I've found is that, and this very much agrees with Richard's view on this whole thing, and I'm on the same page as him, I have to say, that there's human logic. Now, I'm not talking, I mean, again, to the people that have given me a hard time this last year, I'm not saying these are caused by created by people. I mean, the people up in London, the artists, or the Doug and Daves of this world.
It was not a Doug and Dave job, was it?
It's not a Doug and Dave job. These are new boys on the block. Everything I've seen in the last two decades, nothing compares to the last three grand finale patterns in England this year.
What makes you say that?
Well, those that sort of met this very high, stringent criteria of what is real and what is not real, we looked at many things apart from plant analysis, magnetometer survey readings. The simple on the ground detective work was looking for where compression of the soil existed, where people had to stand to make certain geometries, like in the center of a circle for a simple circle. More complex designs require people to stand in many other places,
mm-hmm.
And we found them in many of those cases during those 2 years. In these last three, they don't exist. There are no peg holes. There are no stomper board marks. That's the dimensions of the boards that they make these things with. That is those that feel some pleasure in going out and making them. That doesn't exist. The evidence that I was able to put forward to support my approximate 80% figure during that 2 years, I couldn't certainly do if I wanted to. In these last, not that I do, in these last three designs, it simply doesn't exist. But we do have human logic. What we found on the ground, which I was talking with Richard this afternoon about, and a little before too, was that in the case of the Arecibo message, so-called, and the face, these are two framed designs. The frame and the layout marks, I will call them that, this is a lattice, a network of lines in which, in one design, circles are inserted, i.e. the face, and in the other, oblongs or squares, and that's the Arecibo message. But the basic design, the layout for each, are pretty well identical. Different dimensions, but the same principle is applied to both. You have here, Art, sequencing, construction order. In other words, the first plants to go down in that field from a standing, ordinary wheat field into now a lattice design network in which a pattern is about to be constructed. The first crops to go to the ground leave themselves in position. They remain on the ground where they're placed during that early sequence. For the harvesters, when the Coleman harvester comes along, and at my request in all three, the harvester teeth were taken down, the rotor blade that cuts the plants is taken down to an inch above ground level, which takes everything off but leaves the first layer of plants in position. And what we had, and you'll be seeing this, I think, on Richard's site tomorrow and certainly down in San Jose this weekend, it left a grid. And that grid was used by this new team on the block to make these two extraordinary patterns. So human logic is involved, but I think, and I have nowhere else to go but to suggest it. I can't prove it at this point, certainly. It looks like, for the first time, we have technology. That's what I would say. So
are you agreeing then, Colin, that this could not have, in these cases, have been done from the ground? It would have had to have been, no matter who did it, from the air?
I would tend to think that that was the case. I can't say that it positively is so, Art. I'm certainly have, in the last few years, become a little more careful. We have seen extraordinary patterns made by people, some of them, on camera. And so, therefore,
I
think being careful is the right way to go.
Colin, you did some electrostatic experiments on the wheat, didn't you?
Yes. I went over there, and actually flown in from Germany. We had equipment waiting for us there. I carried out a magnetometer survey, which actually was the fourth year we've been looking at that in a whole range of crop designs,
mm-hmm.
and electrostatic meters. We also had a couple of dowsers. Busty Taylor, who's well known in this field, is actually a very good dowser, and I had another guy came along too. And so what we did is that we found that there was the grid, and let's get to work on the grid, these two grids that are left in the Chilbolton fields. What we found, and these are very tentative statements that I'm making here because the magnetometer readings have not been mapped out yet by Dr. Jean Noel Auburn, who actually will be with me this coming weekend too. That's his the work that he has been doing for me.
But the preliminary results?
Yes. Well, what we basically have is that the magnetometer shows really nothing very unusual. I would be surprised if it shows any pattern that would raise a flag with us. It looks very normal, in other words. But the electrostatic was very different and very bizarre indeed.
Electrostatic. Now, everybody, by that we mean, you know, like when you shuffle across a carpet, folks.
That's right.
And you touch a hunk of metal and there's a spark that flies. That's electrostatic.
Or you go to pet your cat and he leaps 4 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's
it. Right. Well, and those actually were the sort of charges that we had in that field.
Now, that doesn't make sense because Great Britain is traditionally a very damp, dank kind of place with a lot of mist and rain and so forth. So where would you get static electricity?
Well, that is indeed the question. What we found was that the grid lines that were left there for everyone to see, those very narrow lines of, I suppose, about 4 inches or so, measured a plus voltage of 80 volts.
My God, 80 volts.
80 volts.
80 volts.
That's a hell of a carpet.
That's a hell of a carpet. Indeed. Plus, another thing, an electrostatic charge is here now and gone a second later. That's the nature of static electricity. So how could we be getting these readings, 2 weeks later, Colin?
Well, that's right. We were walking across the minor and major axis of both designs many times over, and still we have pulsing 80 volts.
80 volts.
Absolutely.
Colin, that's important, because this is not a static charge, Art. He said pulsing.
In other words, a renewed... That's beyond belief.
Well, yes, it is. And I think we have two things that we've married together for the first time. I believe this. We clearly need to follow this up, because it is a first. We've had dowsers for many years. As you know, Art, dowsing to many scientists is poo. It's just a party trick. It's nonsense. I've had a great trust in this being the new science of the future, to be honest with you. It's something that the intuitive part of humankind can use to his good and to his benefit. As you know, the basic art originally was where people would find water and still do. I know engineers that don't bother with specialized equipment. They will find underground electricity cables, live cables, using dowsing rods.
During Vietnam, the Marines regularly employed dowsers to find the tunnels of the Viet Cong.
Absolutely.
My wife does dowsing, so I know all about it.
Right.
All right, so you had dowsers over there. What did they find?
Well, the dowsers also had reactions on each one of these lines that I'm referring to. The same lines where we had measurements of 80 volts plus on the electrostatic meters. So there's something, I guess you could say there's something living there, something that's alive.
Or there's an energy source replenishing the field.
Boy, I don't know what would do that, Richard.
Hyperdimensional physics.
Particularly after the fact. That's outrageous. That's
isn't that
really
cool?
Outrageous news, yes.
Now, keep in mind that Colin is a certified electrical engineer. This is right up his alley.
It is, Richard. If I might just to add, actually, which is the way this actually was discovered, was that I was with a team of two other people measuring that electrostatic field on the top of Milk Hill just before we reached actual Bolton. We were in the field with that very extraordinary so-called galaxy design, that 700,000 square feet of crop design. And it actually was an error on my part. I had taken the electrostatic reading in the first circle in one of those arms and had relayed that to my assistant there. And I was actually moving to position two to take a second reading, but actually forgot to turn the instrument off once we relocated. And I noticed this 80 plus pulse in walking into the next position.
What?
And what I found there was that there were 7 concentric rings in each of those circles, which is exactly what we have said through dowsers for many years. So what those dowsers have been picking up is indeed this electrostatic boundary.
If you could have been in the air and looked down as you walked from the outside of the center of one of the circles of the 409... you would have seen like 7 concentric bullseye targets?
Absolutely, just like a dartboard, with a full concentric ring in the center, right out to the circumference.
Have you ever measured a high electrostatic repeating charge in another crop formation?
Never.
Have you actually tried?
Well, we have, but it hasn't been anything that it's not been a serious study. I mean, Ron Russell and Dr. Simeon Hine has been looking at that as a specialized project for now, I think, 2 or 3 years. They will have a lot to say about this. I'm actually with Simeon this weekend, Richard, with yourself. So we'll be sharing the same platform, and I can be bouncing off of his findings, too.
Were you able to bring any samples back with you, Colin?
No, I didn't actually. I set out to do the art, but I was assured by one of the researchers I tracked down that those plants were in his possession from those two designs, the three designs.
So he already had them?
He already had them,
okay.
And they were being sent. He absolutely assured me that they were being sent to Dr. Levengood for analysis, so I'm sure that's happening.
I got an email, Colin, while you were there from the same individual.
Yes.
I mean, we can use his name. His name is Charles Mallett.
That's right.
He's the one who's done these stunning ground-level shots we have on the web.
Yes.
Particularly on you know, page 2 and page 3 and page 4.
Yeah, if you want to look through these folks on my website, which I'm sure you do now, artbell.com, tonight's guest, and then just below Richard's name, you'll see the links, and you can see all these photographs of this crop circle near the big telescope and the face and all the rest. It's mind-blowing stuff. Believe
how
me,
the crop was
stuff.
Woven and swirled down. And what Charles has done is he was able to get samples, both plant samples and apparently soil samples, from within the glyphs, and then control samples from well outside the glyphs, and those are all on their way, I understand, to Dr. Levengood.
Colin, do you have any idea what might produce such a high repetitive voltage? That's just in my world, and I'm into electronics, Colin. That's not possible.
No, I'm with you too. I mean, conventional electrical engineering and physics is where I come from. I can't explain it. One would be looking at two insulators moving in opposite directions, certainly creating free electrons.
Cool.
That's an outrageous.
Really cool.
That's just an outrageous voltage.
Now, let me understand, Colin. If you were to stand still in these formations at a particular spot, you'd get your plus 80 volts.
Absolutely.
If you moved a little bit to the left or right or north or south,
nothing.
The voltage would go away.
Zero.
Was it when you were standing at the peak? Was it pulsing or was it constant?
No, if you were stood on the actual grid line, it was constant.
So the pulsing was basically you're walking through the electrostatic pattern.
If it's pulsing, you see, at a high enough frequency, it's going to appear to be a steady voltage anyway, because it's in essence vibrating. You can think of it as vibrating.
Think of it this way. Think of it in terms of acoustics. If you have a good stereo system, and you put a tone, some mid-range tone like middle C,
yes,
and it bounces and creates standing waves on the walls, and then you walk through your living room, you'll hear the tone go wow, 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 because you're moving through the standing wave.
That's right, yes.
It seems to me, Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, that the pulsing was caused by you physically moving the instrument through the standing wave pattern of the
correct.
Electrostatic field.
You are absolutely correct, moving from the zero point to the peak.
So if you could have seen this, you would have seen this glowing electrostatic charge in the pattern of the wheat?
I can't imagine what would do anything like this. Colin, hold on a little more from you, please, along with Richard C. Hogan. I, in my wildest dreams, in damp Great Britain, can't even imagine what would do that. Can any of you? So there's a pretty good hunk of breaking news about what happened a couple of weeks ago in a wheat field in Great Britain. I'm Art Bell. There's more to come. This is Coast to Coast AM. Tell me, this, one way or the other, isn't one of the biggest news stories of the year. Century.
If you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter right now, you'll see some of the most recent crop circles that have Art Bell all worked up. We may actually have made contact with extraterrestrials. see the pictures in another great issue of After Dark. The September issue features a guest editorial from Dreamland host Whitley Strieber, a picture of the stunning Julia Set Fractal crop circle, Dr. Sky updates, quickening news, of course, subliminal seduction, angels, and much more. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505, and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. The number once again, 1-888-727-5505, or subscribe online at artbell.com. Hit the library link to the secure server to order your subscription to After Dark.
Bizarre stories are the order of the day on Art Bell's Coast to Coast AM. This caller says his elderly sister is being visited by extraterrestrials.
It started one night about 2 months ago. She got in bed and something grabbed her by the foot.
I hate these kinds of stories.
Yeah. She pulled her foot back and they grabbed her foot again and stuck a needle in it.
I really hate those stories.
Yeah. And they pulled the covers back and sprayed the back of her head and stuck a needle in her head.
Then she ran to get her brother to help.
He thought she was imagining it, so he went and laid on her bed. And they sat on his feet.
They sat on his feet.
Yep. So he kicked them off. But they don't seem to bother him as much. She's kind of gotten used to them now. They put a probe up her nose. But they've gotten to where they'll sleep on the bed with her.
Join Art Bell all night, overnight, on Coast to Coast AM.
If that was me, I would be wanting to talk to an exorcist right now.
USA Radio Network News, I'm Jason Walker. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld says the Pentagon is getting fat, and he's declaring war on its bloated bureaucracy. He says cuts will likely come from the extensive civilian workforce. Rumsfeld adds to go after savings, it will cost money up front.
We have a base closing proposal before the Congress, and the first year or two of that, it probably costs you more to close the bases than you save. But after that, you begin to save $3 or $4 billion. We're toting around 25% more base structure than we need.
The Senate's investigating pills, tonics, and creams that could create health risks for the senior citizens. So-called anti-aging products currently have no regulations to protect consumers. University of Central Florida professor Tracy Deitz says it doesn't surprise her these substances are being advertised.
If it's not actually a drug, then they can advertise it whomever they want. And there, I understand there are false advertising claims, but what they will suggest is that there are benefits of the product. And I'm not suggesting that there are no benefits, simply that they're not anti-aging.
New study on prostate cancer. Doctors say patients can help themselves by watching their diet. Researchers at UCLA say eating a low-fat, high-fiber diet and exercising daily, men can slow down prostate cancer cell growth by 30%. This is USA Radio News.
If you really want to lose weight quickly and easily and keep it off, then you need ThermalCarb. ThermalCarb is the world's only double diet formula, engineered to cut carbohydrates and increase your metabolism all in one tablet. Clinical research shows that low-carbohydrate diets melt the pounds away. Now you can use ThermalCarb to block carbohydrates and burn fat. So don't give up on the food you love. Don't count calories, fat, or carbs anymore. Let ThermalCarb do the dieting for you. Clinical studies show people lost 300% more weight even without dieting. Whether you diet or not, ThermalCarb guarantees that you'll lose up to 7 pounds in the first week and then one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, or pay nothing. Call now for your 60-day risk-free trial and learn how to get a one-month supply absolutely free. ThermalCarb, it's safe, natural, and guaranteed. Call toll-free, 1-800-245-8910, 1-800-245-8910. That's 1-800-245-8910.
A well-known political figure running for the Senate out of North Carolina.
There are reports Elizabeth Stowe will run for the Senate seat to be vacated by Jesse Helms. She is expected to make her announcement at 1 o'clock Tuesday in her hometown of Salisbury, North Carolina. Mrs. Dole is a clear favorite to win the Republican nomination. Her major possible competitor, former Senator Faircloth, says he will not run for the seat. Mrs. Dole is well qualified. She has been a cabinet secretary twice and head of the International Red Cross. Her Democratic opponent has not been determined. Connie Lawn, USA Radio News, Washington.
In Modesto, California, the Stanislaus County Grand Jury will not investigate Gary Condit on charges of conspiracy to obstruct justice. Attorneys for a woman who allegedly had an affair with Condit requested last week the jury meet. They contend that Condit then asked the woman to sign papers denying the affair. This is USA Radio News.
Golfers, the swing is the most important fundamental of the game. Without proper technique, it doesn't matter how often you practice, you won't be doing it correctly. David Ledbetter's Laser Guide shows you exactly the problem areas of your golf swing, but more importantly, how to correct them. Order now and receive a bonus video, a lesson with David Ledbetter, golf's number one teaching pro. Try Laser Guide risk-free for 90 days. Call 1-800-305-6471. That's 800-305-6471.
Joseph Ferguson took his own life. He was the suspect in the murders of five people, including three former co-workers. Police spokeswoman Audrey Lee says Ferguson may have been involved in hate organizations.
In search of his home during that search, we did find some disturbing literature, but we don't believe that the white supremacy had anything to do with these killings. We believe that the link to all of the homicides was the fact that they were burned security. And also we had one victim who was a city employee who was at the marina, just basically at the wrong place for a long time.
New development in the JonBenet Ramsey murder case. Investigators checking out a lead in Virginia that was sparked by a website. Police say they have the name and address of the America Online user who claims to have witnessed JonBenet's murder nearly 5 years ago. Jason Walker with news on the USA Radio Network.
If you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter right now, you'll see some of the most recent crop circles that have Art Bell all worked up. We may actually have made contact with extraterrestrials. See the pictures in another great issue of After Dark. The September issue features a guest editorial from Dreamland host Whitley Strieber, a picture of the stunning Juliaset fractal crop circle, Dr. Sky updates, quickening news, of course, subliminal seduction, angels, and much more. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505, and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. The number once again, 1-888-727-5505, or subscribe online at artbell.com. Hit the library link to the secure server to order your subscription to After Dark.
Riders on the storm, into this after born, into this world we're thrown.
Wanna take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nod.
You know, I keep saying these crop circles could only have come from the air. And they could have only come from either ET or a government possessing that kind of technology. Well, there is a third possibility. Colin himself has suggested at times the Earth's magnetic field itself might be doing it, but I don't know. I wonder if he can apply that now and if that gets tossed away as a result of what he has found. And it's breaking news, all right, in that crop glyph in England, that apparent answer to the 1974 Arecibo signal sent to deep space. 80 electrostatic volts. 80 repetitively electrostatic volts. That's just impossible. Absolutely impossible. But you just heard it. In a moment, we will continue. Stay right where you are. Have you ever...
Think you might be paying too much for cable? Call Dish Network and get 117 channels for just $9 a month when you buy any system for $199 or more. It's just $9 a month for the first year for great channels like Disney, TNT, ESPN, and more. Plus, installation is free. Try getting that from your cable company. For the most TV for just $9 a month, Dish is it. Call 1-800-333-DISH. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice.
Out of the military, well, the people at Zytec have developed a brand new breakthrough video teaching system that you can use to foretell future events. You can use it in so many ways, really. You can see and chart your future, take a look at what kind of career you'll have, your perfect mate, take a look at your own life if you've got the colonies to do it, hidden treasure. You know, the list is, it just goes on and on. I know it seems unbelievable. Well, the government did not think so. They spent $20 million developing it, keeping it secret for a decade, and now SciTech will send you a free, F-R-E-E, video on technical remote viewing. I bet these lines are jammed. If you call now, 1-800-600-4001. That's 1-800-600-4001. Let me give that to you one more time. 1-800-600-4001. All right, back now to Richard C. Hoagland in New Mexico. Colin Andrews, just freshly back from Great Britain, where he was in the Chilbolton crop circle and did some tests there that are astounding. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you, Art.
Hi, Art. The thing that strikes me is, in England, in fact, a lot of the photos that Charlie sent us, Charlie Mallet, you can see it's a gray, foggy day. In fact, we had to sharpen the images so that you can actually see the individual stalks, because there was no basic sun. It was all diffuse lighting. So any charge, I mean, no matter what source, would leak away, you know, within minutes.
I'd say instantly. Colin,
But the point is, here we are 2 weeks after,
yeah,
and you got this incredible pattern where he walks through the pattern and it basically traces the visual glyph. And it's got to be a replenished energy source. It's got to be coming from somewhere, which raises the specter of an extraordinary physics and technology. And it's not college kids. It's not Doug and Dave.
But Colin, do you have any explanation for what could do what you measured?
Well, I've certainly got something to suggest here, yes.
Let's hear it.
This coming weekend, as you know, at the Bay Area UFO Congress, and actually the following weekend at the International UFO Congress in Laughlin, Dr. Jean-Noel Auburn, just earlier today, agreed very kindly, who is an engineer scientist to help me present the data analysis of the magnetometer survey we've conducted the last couple of years. And there really is something here also, Art, that I think is going to blow some minds. The scientific world is showing a great deal of interest in this. There's one invitation to go to Moscow to share this with some scientists there.
Okay.
And what it shows, I'll just sort of cut right to the core, I have conducted magnetometer surveys in many crop patterns in the last 3 or 4 years. The result that we had in a Celtic cross on Ministry of Defense land last year has given us something really to think about. And I think this might offer some solutions, perhaps, if you can call it that, to what we've now found at Chilbolton. And what we had was that the Earth's magnetic field inside, if you imagine a Celtic cross, you have a large circle in the center, four satellites equally spaced at the northeast, south, west, and east. And
90 degrees.
In this particular case, instead of a circle in the center, we actually had an ancient burial ground, a tumuli, which was very unusual. That was a first in itself. Well, the Earth's magnetic field measured there gave us a reading of plus about 100 to 150% above the normal Earth's magnetic field of five galls in the northern hemisphere, in that part of the northern hemisphere,
right.
Only inside those the four satellites, and marginally outside on the right-hand side of each of those satellites. So effectively what we had when this was mapped out, all the readings were mapped out, it showed us that there were magnetic dipoles underground in each of those satellite crop circles or above in the air. And those that was measured whilst the crop circle was there and again when it was harvested. So effectively, we'll be showing and sharing those results in great detail this weekend. But here we have another extraordinary anomaly. Completely, we cannot account for it. Short of excavating that field, which might, I guess, come to that.
Well, Colin, I've got a BBC story here in which you're quoted as saying that magnetism may account for the rest, those that are not fake. Which display a simplicity of form compared with elaborate, beautiful patterns of the, quote, hoaxes, unquote. Did you say that?
I guess I'm very, very close to that, certainly.
That's from the it's from the BBC. So, in other words, I could imagine with those old, beautiful circles, these incredible circles that Mother Earth somehow could have done it. But the problem is now we've got a face and we've got an answer to a deep space message.
Yes, I know.
Binary.
It doesn't sound
prime
like
numbers. No,
doesn't sound like Mother Earth.
I guess like any scientist, any respectable engineer, one goes with the data and with the what you have in front of you. You modify the model and you move forward. I'm not here to sell anybody one thing or the other, simply to record the facts. And like you, I'm intrigued to know what's going on, and I certainly intend to see this through.
So in other words, with this astounding new data, you're prepared to perhaps modify what you were guessing or believing or imagining?
Well, yes, absolutely, because with rotationally symmetrical designs, I could see as an engineer how it was conceivable. You know, with a magnetic force, it did leave something else still out of the equation. I don't know what it was missing there, of course, but there was a component missing to actually flatten the plants. I mean, you can electrocute, if you like, the analogy would be to electrocute the plants, but we still needed a force to actually push them over.
Yeah.
When you rotate a magnetic field, you induce current in a conductor, which would be...
Well, this sounds a little like Terence Needham's plasma vortex theory.
It's not far away.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
It's not far away, Richard. It certainly isn't far away, but here, I mean, the face and the message, so-called message, they're not rotationally symmetrical, and I cannot see that as a theory accounting for it. So, we're back to square one on those two, that's for sure.
Well, then, on a more basic level, I understand the ground there is pretty soft and kind of muddy a lot of the time, and it just would have been flat impossible for a human being to not leave some sort of trace of what they had done in this particular case with these very complicated glyphs.
It would certainly appear to be so. I wouldn't argue with you. I think, though, Art, you know, again, being just a little careful, I certainly can and will this weekend once again remind everybody of what a great job people can make of some of these designs.
It's not to burst anybody's bubble, but simply to come from a very skeptical, very careful position. Because we have a paradox, we have a dilemma here of the most extraordinary kind. At the one end, you could have a very elaborate hoax, albeit government agencies of some kind or another, or the guys up there in London, or a new range of modern whiz kid type Doug and Dave's. That's the one end of the spectrum where you and I could be seen eventually you have to be wasting our time and our energy. At the other end of the spectrum, as you said, and I think you said several times this last week, Art, and Richard too, something of absolutely profound importance to mankind, to humanity. There's the paradox, there's the dilemma, and we're, you know, it's that straightforward, but it's that complex too.
See, while Colin has been literally outstanding in his field, we on this side of the Atlantic have been working on the political side of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because if this is as extraordinary in terms of the presentation as it has appeared, then you're reduced down to it's got to be one of two sources. It's got to be government intel or it's genuine extraterrestrial technology.
Right.
Now, if it's extraterrestrials, then they're trying to tell us something pretty profound, and we should carefully scan the message for all kinds of clues, and there have been a contingent of folks, people like Dustin Brand and others, who've done that, have come up with some astonishing ideas, which are presented in links through the Enterprise website and through that very comprehensive paper that we've now done on this Joe Bolton set of clips, which we will not have time to get into tonight, I can guarantee you, but it's there on the web, and the web exists, and you can go at your leisure and read it and cogitate over it. The other aspect, if it's not truly an extraterrestrial response, which I personally don't think it's really from ET, then we're dealing with the intel crowd. And what we have to understand, guys, is the intelligence community is sharply divided now about the concept of disclosure. We know from Stephen Greer's work and from other contacts in Washington and other sources we have that there's this fierce internal battle going on.
You bet.
And in government about hangout, limited hangout, clam up, cover up. You know, who's going to win?
Yeah.
You know, we have called them over here the owls and the roosters, taken directly from, the X-Files analogy.
All right, straight out, Richard. If this is from some clandestine operation of the U.S.
leaking,
government.
A leaking clandestine dissident group that basically says it's time.
I would agree with that.
And disclosure is not going to be a press conference. It's a process. And if you look around the world, I mean, Greer last week announced he's got an astronaut, who, by the way, I think I know who it is, who basically went to Cohen and tried to get some ET artifacts that he had seen and handled and touched out of the clutches of the intelligence community to present them at a press conference. And the Secretary of Defense was stonewalled,
yes,
according to Greer.
Yes.
Well, that's part of this war. So, Colin, I believe, and I think we're on the same page here.
Yes, we are.
I felt from the beginning that because these were so human, that they had the earmarks of humans down here, but with some extraordinary gadgets, some extraordinary toys.
Yeah, I couldn't put it better. I mean, I think whatever the core phenomenon is, whatever the core reason is behind the crop circle phenomenon per se, here we now have, in the last three designs of the next two major movies, and I don't let's not overlook those two major movies that are coming up, someone somewhere has decided that whatever the core reason for the crop circle phenomenon is, they're going to use it for their own agenda. I think it makes perfect sense. It's a big subject, and there are many reasons why I say that too. I absolutely share your view there. I would like, if I may, just to add that, as we were saying earlier, there really is nothing black and white about this entire subject. And what has made, I think, in addition to this 80-20 business, as maybe just a little unpopular recently, it is that I have decided in my own work, and it really is no more than that, but, people tend to feel they own you after a while. you know that, Art.
Yeah,
is that I feel that we have to embrace everything out there, embrace those that are made by people as well, because what we're looking at here is a very narrow slither in evolution. And if it involves people making them and some of the mysterious hand making or creating them also, that we should look at the entire thing. And where I feel that I'm right in doing this
is that if you take the one end of the spectrum, I like to do this because it sort of gives me a little bit of stand back time and it's an overview. If you look at people making these designs, there are many questions that one needs to ask. Is first of all, the profile of the people that make crop circles. Why do they make them? I've spent many hours speaking to some of these guys, and they will tell you almost to a man that they feel prompted to do so. There's something going on here with the people that are actually making them. Why do they make those particular designs?
Well, you're talking now about the identified human...
Yeah, the ones that have admitted doing it, that's right, sitting in a pub and saying, hey, why'd you do it, bud?
Well, it's a little more organized.
For me, I kind of shy away from that because, to me, okay, they're fakes. We know they're fakes. I tend to shy away from dowsing just because I know how that's received by the public.
Right.
But all the evidence taken together with every scientist I've talked to said this couldn't have been made on the ground. And then now with you coming forth with this electrostatic measurement that's flat out impossible.
Right.
That's what turns my crank.
Colin, let me ask this question. When you dug down, you did not find a fine grid of silver wire and a set of little batteries around the field, right?
We haven't dug down in these two designs as yet, Richard. We've only ever excavated one crop pattern that we also found a magnetic anomaly in, and what we found were very old farm implements of many years past. That's all we were able to locate.
Huh.
All right, but you did tell me you did not find stake holes, which means you obviously looked at the ground and
absolutely.
See if it was disturbed.
No stake holes, no compression marks where one would expect to find them. There is a different hand here. I mean, there is positively something different about these last three designs.
Well, the electrostatic signature is just extraordinary. Art is absolutely right. There is no way that I know, unless you were to plant a grid of wires and have a huge power source, which you as an engineer could have easily found.
Right.
No, I mean, that we throw that out. I was kind of being tongue-in-cheek about that.
Yeah, but I mean,
which leaves us with inexplicable technology wielded by persons unknown.
New technology, whatever it is, it's certainly new.
Well, I think it's hyperdimensional technology.
Maybe.
Well, I have data from Bruce De Palma. Remember my old friend Bruce?
Sure.
Who 20 years ago produced a version, guys, of a crop circle in the laboratory using his rotational experiments. That's where I first got on to the possibility of connecting the crop circles with the Cydonia and other phenomena we were looking at back in the 80s. And it turns out that you can create these using what De Palma brought to bear in the laboratory.
Well, that's why Colin's original theory of the Earth's magnetism was certainly made a lot of sense as one very strong contender, one strong possibility, but certainly we've turned a corner around that right now with these glyphs.
Yeah, plus you've gone from simple circles now to these incredibly complex glyphs in a period of 20-some years, 25 years maybe, and the Earth would not learn how to do things better. No.
All right, so that's big news tonight, folks. Let the world digest all of this. All right, the two of you are going to be at this show, right?
The Bay Area UFO Expo in San Jose this coming weekend.
Okay, plug it.
Well, if you want tickets for both Colin's workshops and mine, and we're going to actually appear together on Sunday in the long extended workshop that I've staked out time on, because everybody always knows I have too much material. I tend to go over. You can call this number, area 408-266-4749. That's area code 408-266-4749 in Northern California, right south of the Bay Area. We're going to be there for 2 days laying out a lot of data, a lot of photographs, a lot of background. I've found with the help of people like Dustin Brand and others some extraordinary content to this response, which we have not gotten into tonight.
No, I know.
So we'll just tease vigorously, and maybe you'll have me back in a couple of days, and I can do some more teasing with actual data. But if you want to read about it, it's on our website. It's linked through Art. And I think, gentlemen, I speak for all of us in that I think this is a heck of a way to go out in this crop circle season. Right, Colin?
Absolutely. There's never been a better one.
Oh, really? I've never heard you say that before, Colin. this is the best to date?
This is by far the pinnacle
of the last 20 years.
When you saw these as a long time investigator of crop circles, what did you say? I mean, how did it hit you when you first really saw these, Colin?
Well, I guess, Art, even though the very first one that I saw was extremely simple, it was a Celtic cross, it was a similar feeling because I had nothing to base it upon. I had nothing to reference it to the same feeling that I've now got with these new designs. It's all inspiring. It feels so special. One just has to say it troubles you, and yet it excites you. One feels a spiritual content to it. There have been times in my work where I have privately cried to myself. It sounds extraordinary, I know, but it's just so special.
I understand completely, believe me. Richard, we'll have you back. No teasing here. You got to go all the way if you're coming back on the show.
Will do.
All right. And Colin, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for inviting me, Art. Thank you, Dick.
Thanks, Colin. Bye.
Good night, you too. All right. Well, there you have it. That's the latest news on the crop glyphs that appeared about 2 weeks ago in Great Britain. Astounding news. 80 repeating electrostatic volts measured inside that glyph. In a few moments, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to have a fascinating guest, Andrew Yoder. We're going to be talking about shortwave pirates, people who go on shortwave radio without a license, without a care, without worry, and broadcast to the world, pirates. And we've got actual recordings with Andrew Yoder coming up next. Anomalous line, I guess we'll call it, possessed or timeline, whatever. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Elvis Presley.
This is Elvis Presley?
That's right, this is Elvis Presley. I don't want you to get the wrong idea because I'm a lot of people say I'm still alive. I'm not alive. I've been just hanging out on the sidelines.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Come and hang out with us.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. You never know who will drop by.
And right now, I think he's in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and he's Willie Nelson. And Willie, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing real well. I shouldn't have to introduce him. This is Leonard Nimoy. Leonard, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Everybody knows who George Carlin is. Here he is, George Carlin. Hi, George.
Hello, Art. How are you?
Quite well, thank you. Jane Seymour.
Hi.
Hi. You don't know me, but I love you. Here he is, Merle Haggard. Merle.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you. Here is Gordon Lightfoot. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art. I'm very pleased to be with you this evening.
Here's John Voight. John, welcome.
Hi. Art, how are you?
I'm just fine.
I don't know why do people say how are you?
Art Bell and special guest George Carlin.
I love an earthquake. I love a bigger earthquake. They're never as big as I'd like. No, we need a 25. I think of it as an amusement park ride, Art. It's such a wonderful thing to realize you have absolutely no control.
George, a 25 would turn entire continents over.
Ah, now you're talking, Art.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, weeknights on this station.
From the archives of Coast to Coast AM, Art Bell describes a rather unfortunate on-air incident.
I've got next to me what's called a cart rack, a part of it came apart during the break, and a bunch of carts fell down. I thought I would fix it. I ran into the other room and got a container of super glue. So I took a pair of scissors right here, and I cut the top off the super glue to get it to float. Well, it flowed all right. It flowed all over me. And I think that I've glued my lips together. This is the dumbest thing that I've ever done by a country mile. I've actually glued my lips together. I think I ripped part of my lip off. I did.
my tonic, I ripped part of my lip off. Actually, a little piece of my lip in the ashtray here.
This could be one of the biggest stories of this century. Have we made contact with extraterrestrial life? Are the latest group of crop circles definitive communication? Why is the press minimizing this story? Get pictures and more when you subscribe to After Dark. This month, see the absolutely stunning Julia set at 780 feet across. It is, without a doubt, the most awesome crop circle to date. It's all in the After Dark newsletter. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505. For only $39.95, you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. This month, you'll also read about sleep paralysis, subliminal seduction, can advertisers control you against your will, and angels. The number to subscribe is 1-888-727-5505, or log on to artbell.com and hit the library link to the secure server to order After Dark.
Came by today, cause he was telling everyone in town of the love that he just found and the reason of the greatest friend. He talked and talked, and I heard him say that she has the longest, whitest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere, and read the name of his latest flame. Though I smiled with tears inside, were burning. I wished him luck and then he said a smile. He was gone, but still his words kept returning. What else was there for me to do but cry?
Want to take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed, and I think tonight you're going to hear for the very first time on commercial radio of pirate radio. I don't know that anybody has done this, and there may be reasons why. I don't know, we may find out. There is a whole world out there above the commercial broadcasting AM band called shortwave, one that I've been involved with all my adult life, actually part of my childhood as well. It's been my hobby. As you know, I'm a ham. So I have some mixed feelings about what we're about to do on the air. However, it is so interesting. And I think that's probably why Andrew Yoder got involved, because it's so damn interesting. You're going to hear actual pirate broadcasts tonight. Some of them silly, some of them serious, some of them political, some of them, I don't know, it's just wild stuff. Andrew of himself writes, yep, this is essentially a press page. Why hobby broadcasting? I've been fascinated with underground media all my life. That's underground media, folks. The first time I encountered it was in 1977 when I saw a report on NBC Nightly News about a pirate TV station called Lucky 7 from Syracuse, New York. In 1981, I discovered S9 Magazine, the precursor to popular communications, and the book How to Tune the Secret Shortwave Spectrum. Secret because not too many people know about it, really. Throughout the 1980s, I spent hours listening to all sorts of underground radio programming and contributing to radio bulletins. In 1988, I wrote pirate radio stations, tuning in underground broadcasts for TAB Books. It was my first real foray into both publishing and the business world. Being only 21, I accepted a cheap buyout contract. Though the book wound up selling more than 13,000 copies, I only made a few cents per book, lest you think I'm in this for the money. In the early and mid-90s, I wrote a few more books on shortwave radio and pirate radio because I was a fan of any type of underground radio, not necessarily that which was just unlicensed and on shortwave. I dreamed of someday publishing a radio-related zine. magazine, as in zine. After occasionally researching the topic for a few years, we jumped in with both feet in 1997 in the first issue of Hobby Broadcasting, hits press in the spring of 98. Since then, history, right? We've strived to publish excellent how-to broadcast articles, features, and historical pieces. Yeah, that's right. How-to. So it's going to be pretty interesting, and it's coming up in just a few moments. You'll hear actual pirate broadcasts. Stay right there.
Hi, this is Bob Crane from the Sea Crane Company, and I'd like to tell you about our CC radio. The CC radio will pick up more stations than you ever had before, and the stations you listen to now will come in clearer, and the sound is rich and truthful for the best human voice possible. Popular science confirms it is the ultimate tabletop radio, and I personally guarantee that the CC radio is the best radio you can own for news, talk, and sports. You can learn more about the CC radio by getting our free catalog that tells all about the CC radio, plus dozens of other unique items. You can give us a call right now at 800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
The CC radio is just $159.95, including shipping. That number again, for more information or the free Sea Crane Company catalog, is 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863 and on the internet at ccradio.com.
Encounters is even investigating the assassination of President Lincoln.
Well, everyone knows you shot Lincoln.
No, you only think you know. Jerry Orbach has the real story on Encounters, this Friday following The Weakest Link.
So the truth is out there.
Well, other than Art Bell, it's only on Encounters with the Unexplained, Friday at 9, 8 Central on PAX TV.
I would be remiss indeed if I did not acknowledge the fact that my radon earthquake detector... the fellow who lives in Southern California has a well and monitors the radon level in his well, had not called it. Everybody went, aha, he missed it. Well, no, he didn't miss it. The first earthquake in a very long time in North Hollywood, California, 4 point something or another, predicted by my right radon earthquake detector, about a week and a half ago, I would say, if that. Congratulations, you hit another one. This guy has been incredible. Incredible also, Andrew Yoder. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi there. Where are you anyway?
I'm in South Central Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So it's really late there, or really early, depending on how you
look. Yeah, it's very early.
Uh-huh. So long time ago, you began. What got you interested in, how did you get your first, do you remember your first shortwave radio?
Yeah, the first time I really listened to shortwave radio was at a friend's house, and his dad had refurbished an old World War II radio, and we used to listen to all different kinds of things on that.
Now, my grandma had one of those things that stood about 5 feet tall, and it had AM, and of course it had shortwave bands, and I would spend hours, when I went to my grandma's house, that's all I did. I sat in front of that radio and listened. And, oh, God, I listened, tried to imagine what it was I was hearing, all these strange stations, of course, commercial broadcasting, but so much more that I couldn't identify. That's really what got me going.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun just to sit around and listen to all the different strange sounds on shortwave.
Mm. Well, there are some really, really strange sounds. And those come from, what is a, define a pirate broadcaster. What is a pirate broadcaster?
Really, a pirate broadcast station is somebody who goes on the air and broadcasts, as opposed to somebody who just talks to somebody else. That would be, you know, a ham, basically, without a license. But this is somebody who has no license and is actually broadcasting programming.
So we hams would call that person a bootlegger, as differentiated then from a pirate.
Yeah, usually it's defined. The bootleggers are considered people who are just doing the ham thing without a license. But yeah, a lot of hams call bootleggers broadcasters or just hams.
These pirates, they're a whole different breed, aren't they?
Yeah, for the most part, though, the pirates try to stay on frequencies where nobody else uses and stay away from people. They aren't trying to cause interference or
no. They're trying to be heard, right?
Yeah. For the most part, some pirates aren't really trying to be heard by a whole lot of people. Some are just happy to be heard around a few of their friends or a few of the other pirates.
So it's kind of almost like a cult thing in a way.
Yeah, really, it is.
Hmm. And then there are various motivations, though. Some of them, I've heard, are quite political. For example, some very anti-whatever presidents in office or anti-U.S. or whatever, right?
Yeah, there are plenty of stations that are political to one extent or another. Usually, most of the pirates, on shortwave at least, aren't really, really extremely serious. Most of them at least have some fun on the air. Most of them aren't, out there every night trying to overthrow the government.
Yeah, how much would it cost, just from a curiosity point of view, of course, to set up a shortwave pirate station that would be somewhat effective anyway, if you did it on the cheap?
It depends. Really, a lot of it depends on the knowledge that you have of electronics. I know one station that really, he put everything together for probably about
$10. $10.
He found an old amateur radio transmitter for $10, and he fixed that up, and he made the audio mixer himself.
Uh-huh.
And all the audio that he used to get into, you know, microphones and everything else, he found and had repaired.
Now, here's an important point, folks. Unlike conventional AM stations or FM stations like you're listening to us on right now, shortwave, though it's low power, has the potential to not only cover North America, but South America and Europe, Asia. In other words, it could be virtually worldwide. So you could collect quite an audience, couldn't you, Andrew?
Yeah, it's entirely possible. A really good example of that is just this past weekend, I was listening to a station called Radio Border Hunter from Belgium.
Border Hunter?
Yeah, because he's right along the border of Belgium and Holland.
Plus, he's probably a hunted man.
Well, he does very well with his transmitter, and he decided to do a test this past weekend and see how well we could hear him as he dropped his power levels. So he started at, what was it, about 1,000 watts, and dropped down to 100 watts,
mm-hmm.
and then he dropped down to 20 watts,
mm-hmm.
and we could still hear him fine. He had some... Excuse me?
No, I just laughed. That's not much power.
No, so then he started dropping the power down further, and still people in the U.S. could hear him at, 10 watts, and then at 1 watt.
Holy smokes.
And he was audible to some people at 100 milliwatts, and he backed it down to 30 milliwatts, and still was at least a little bit audible.
That's unbelievable.
That's about
amazing.
As much power as those little experiments with sticking a couple of nails into a potato and running, you know, a light bulb.
Yeah, that's right. Potato-powered radio. Could happen. Could be done. All right, so these people... you know, take a guy in Cincinnati or New York City or Brooklyn or L.A. or wherever, Chicago. You put yourself on the air. You are at risk. You are doing an illegal thing. The Federal Communications Commission would no doubt love to get their mitts on you. And so, hence the name pirate. If they do get their mitts on you, what happens to you?
It's kind of tough to tell because... Technically, it's an administrative violation. You're not committing a felony by pirating. You're not committing a misdemeanor. You're committing an administrative violation, and it has to do with administrative courts. And so police don't really have any jurisdiction.
So the local police would not come rushing in?
No, not unless the FCC got the help of the police to help them shut down the station, and they don't have to necessarily cooperate. So it's kind of a strange thing, and a lot of it has to do with how the FCC is feeling at any particular time, and how much power they have at any particular time, and that varies from administration to administration, and just from year to year. Right now, there haven't been any pirate busts in North America since 1998.
You're kidding.
And
there have been no pirate busts since 1998?
Nope.
What's happened to enforcement?
They go through phases. In 1998, they raided four stations at once on Halloween, and then they've kind of let it go. And up until that point, they let it go from 1995 to 1998.
Interesting.
And then usually whenever there's some raids, then activity slows down for a while, and people kind of are a little bit quiet, and then it picks up again to see, you know, really if the FCC is interested.
So I take it then they could do anything from slapping you on the hand and saying don't do that again if they caught you, to taking your equipment, to taking you to jail.
So far not taking you to jail, really. But yeah, otherwise, and they can confiscate other things too. One person I know of, they confiscated all of his audio equipment, plus his shortwave receiver and some other things that really weren't related to broadcasting.
Anything they could loosely attach to the concept of broadcasting, in other words.
Yes, and in order for him to get it, then he would have to challenge them in court. And for the most part, it's not going to be worth it unless they confiscate property worth, you know, $5,000 or more.
Well, profile one of these guys or gals for me. I mean, what are these people like that they would break the law, transmit who knows what? Actually, we're going to know what before the night's over. But all of this different material, why would they do it? What kind of person would do that?
It's an interesting concept, and that's one of the things that people always wonder is, you know, that's one of the fascinations, really, with listening to pirate radio is why is somebody doing this? And sometimes it's just creativity. Some of these people are actually professional radio DJs or engineers, and they don't get to do what they would normally like to do on the air.
Yes.
So they pirate. And there are other people who have a particular axe to grind, one way or another, and whether it's political or social or whatever, and they get on the air for that reason. And some people just are hobbyists, whether it's audio or music or whatever, and just like assembling the programs. And it's always a risk for these people to go out there and broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Andrew, being such a fan of pirate broadcasting, I guess I've got to ask you, have you ever done more than listen? Have you ever pirate broadcasted yourself?
Well, I like to avoid
that
operating
topic?
Transmitters as much as possible, put it that way.
Well, so I should read into that not complete denial.
Read into it whatever you want. if I say that I hadn't, nobody would believe me, and if I say that I had, then nobody'd really believe me either. So,
well, I admit I did it 35 years ago, innocently. I was an airman in the Air Force at Amarillo Air Force Base. You'll like this story, Andrew. And we thought, you know, we're on a federal reservation. This could be fun. And so I began in my own barracks with a little Heathkit VFO, and I put that on 1610 kilohertz, and I put it on the air. And we got a call from the captain, and we were standing in front of the captain, a couple other fellows, friends of mine, myself, and he said, what you're doing, we think, you know, we thought we were going to get the axe, you know, Article 15, something awful. He said, we think what you're doing is wonderful, but you're keeping people awake with that music in the barracks. Can't have that. So this, our captain of our squadron, called the Mars station on Amarillo Air Force Base at that time, now closed, and said, we've got these guys here doing a wonderful thing. Can you give them some room? He didn't say, okay. So he gave us two rooms in the Mars station, access to some equipment, and access to all of the poles they had outside for gigantic antennas. So I modified a little ham transmitter, AM, and we put 50 watts on the air on Amarillo Air Force Base. Andrew and my friend, we did it for a year and a half. 18 months of 24 hours a day broadcasting, and I guess you could say we were caught. What happened was pretty weird. Amarillo, the town, was, I don't know, 30 or 40 or 50 miles away, quite a ways away. And so Amarillo Air Force Base was kind of isolated. Well, guess what? About a year and a half after we began, we showed up in an Arbitron survey in the city of Amarillo. About 10 minutes later, and that's how long it took the commercial station in Amarillo to call the general of the base. We were standing in front of the general, and that was the end of KMED, which was our pirate station on Amarillo Air Force Base. But we ran that sucker 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for a year and a half before they got us. And we showed up in the survey in Amarillo. Now, is that cool or what?
That's cool. Yeah, that's a bad thing to show up in the Arbitrons.
Yeah, it's bad. Very bad. We still didn't get disciplined. All we had to do was immediately turn it off. And I think the reason we got away with it was because the people on the base were kind of chagrined that the people at the Mars station didn't know it was highly illegal. In fact, they thought it was great. So, got away with one. That was 35 years ago, and I'm sure the statute of limitations has long since expired, and that's how I can tell that story. So I've got kind of a background that way myself, and it is creative, and it is fun, even though it is illegal. There are various moves to get some legal, low-power broadcasting going for the average citizen. Now, that's been somewhat squashed, I guess, but still, there's something out there, isn't there, going on right now?
Yeah, there have been about 250 applications that have gone through to the FCC, and I believe are getting passed through. So there is a little bit going on out there. These stations are for low-power FM, and they will be between 10 and 100 watts. So there will be some stations out there, but they won't be covering a lot of area, and the FCC has, legislation that they were originally putting through has been modified a lot because of objections from the National Association of Broadcasters.
So it's been squished a little.
Yeah. So not too many of the major cities will have any kind of low-power FM. Mostly where it will be out away from everything in rural areas. And, you know, a lot of those areas, they aren't even trying for low-power service. So, yeah, it's kind of marginal. I'm sure it'll help out some people, but not too many people.
So, in other words, a little something is done, but not very much. It's nothing that is going to probably quiet the pirates, is it? In other words, they will no doubt continue to what they're doing on the AM and FM bands in terms of piracy, you think?
Certainly. Not so much on AM. There hasn't been a whole lot of activity on AM.
Well, that's because it's so crowded now.
Yeah. And on FM, there's been a lot, but there have been, the FCC has been focusing a lot more on FM than on shortwave or anywhere else. So.
Okay. All right. Andrew Yoder, hold on. When we come back, we'll have actual samples of pirate broadcasting for you. And some of this stuff is an absolute riot. You're going to love it. These are people who just decide, hey, you know, I'm going to broadcast to the world, and I can do it on shortwave, and I can do it for very little money, and I'm going to just have some fun. And it's all been captured by Andrew Yoder. You're not going to believe some of this. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This could be one of the biggest stories of this century. Have we made contact with extraterrestrial life? Are the latest group of crop circles definitive communication? Why is the press minimizing this story? Get pictures and more when you subscribe to After Dark. This month, see the absolutely stunning Julia set at 780 feet across. It is, without a doubt, the most awesome crop circle to date. It's all in the After Dark newsletter. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505. For only $39.95, you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. This month, you'll also read about sleep paralysis, subliminal seduction, can advertisers control you against your will, and angels. The number to subscribe is 1-888-727-5505, or log on to artbell.com and hit the library link to the secure server to order After Dark.
One thing's for certain, anything can happen on Coast to Coast AM. No ands, ifs, or buts about it.
I'm with a society, it's not the Masons, it's an offshoot called the Mystical Order of the Dequat Gerbils, and
you lion sucker, the Mystical Order of the Dequat Gerbil, my eye, I don't believe it for a second.
Oh, really?
Dequat Gerbil. Dequat Gerbil. There's no such thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a rigorous process to get in.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I'm sure a lot of your members end up in the hospital, too. Goodbye. You're out of here. Just order the Dequat Gerbil, my butt. That I should have said.
Radio Network News, I'm Jason Walker. Top Russian official says Moscow might consider changes to the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty, USA's John Decker reports.
In an interview with the Interfax news agency, Russian Defense Minister Ivanov said that theoretically, he does not exclude the possibility of modifying the ABM treaty. However, he said Russia is still opposed to the planned deployment of a missile defense system by the U.S. Russia has been willing to negotiate deeper cuts in nuclear arsenals while still remaining adamantly opposed to the U.S. plans. Presidents George W. Bush and Vladimir Putin are scheduled to meet in Texas in November. John Decker, USA Radio News, Washington.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says he wants to cut the fat at the Pentagon. He says job cuts likely to come in the civilian workforce. President Bush once again touting education reform.
You know, I don't think education ought to be a partisan issue. I know reading is not a partisan issue. I mean, getting every child to read in America is an American issue, and it ought to be an American goal.
Bush was visiting an elementary school in Jacksonville, Florida. Aaron, now a Category 2 hurricane, the storm has maximum sustained winds of 100 miles per hour. Storm is some 450 miles south of Nova Scotia, moving slowly to the north. Forecasters say the New England states could get some very heavy rain over the next couple of days. This is USA Radio News.
Men and women, if you suffer from hair loss, then you should know about a recent medical breakthrough that guarantees to stop hair loss and reverse baldness. That's right. Now you can regrow a full head of hair guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, a revolutionary new natural herbal scalp management system that regrows and maintains your own hair safely and permanently. Hair Advantage contains a new patented ingredient called Lonatin. It's clinically proven and so effective it's approved by the FDA for stopping hair loss and regrowing your own hair. In clinical trials, the majority of people regrew their hair, with an incredible 66% experiencing dense hair regrowth. Order Hair Advantage now and start regrowing your own hair again. It's natural, clinically proven, and guaranteed. The most effective hair regrowth program in the world. Call now to order your 60-day risk-free trial and learn how you can get a one-month supply absolutely free. Call toll-free 800-777-0921. That's 800-777-0921. Call now.
A new string of charges in the McDonald's scam. USA's Pete McCombs, rather, has the story.
Federal prosecutors in Jacksonville, Florida, say 21 people were indicted on charges they tried to scam the fast food restaurant out of millions of dollars on game promotions like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Monopoly. The indictments come after 8 people were arrested last month on those very same charges. Jerome Jacobson, the supposed ringleader, was the director of security for Simon Marketing. That's the company that distributed the game pieces. He stands accused of bilking McDonald's out of $20 million worth of prize-winning pieces. The name of the FBI investigation? Final Answer. I'm Pete Combs, USA Radio News.
Immigration officials in Miami breaking up a Chinese smuggling ring. 4 Chinese residents have been arrested, suspected of smuggling fellow countrymen into the U.S. through Cuba. Those arrested allegedly used false documents to enter the United States. If convicted, they face a minimum penalty of 3 years in prison. This is USA Radio News.
Parents, how many times have you told your kids don't talk to strangers? If you have any doubts that they'll know what to do, you need the Super Safe Kids Club CD-ROM. Developed with input from police, child psychologists, and educators, the Super Safe Kids Club will prepare them, not scare them. Just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Satisfaction guaranteed, or return within 30 days for a refund. Call 1-800-881-8075. That's 800-881-8075. Or go to www.supersafekids.com.
A Senate panel looking into so-called anti-aging pills and other dietary supplements aimed at senior citizens. Terry Moore has that story.
You have probably seen the ads that say things like look and feel younger, improve your memory. Many are bogus, says Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden.
Those who prey on seniors constantly seem to be getting sleazier and more creative.
He points out many use the internet and stay very mobile.
Older people, both in this country and around the world, are getting fleeced.
Wyden says many of the scamsters are information age snake oil salesmen. I'm Terry Moore on Capitol Hill.
It appears Michael Jordan is on his way back to the NBA. CNNSI reporting Air Jordan has all but confirmed now he's going to play this season. On Wall Street Monday, the Dow was off a fraction, NASDAQ gained 7. Jason Walker with news on the USA Radio Network.
This could be one of the biggest stories of this century. Have we made contact with extraterrestrial life? Are the latest group of crop circles definitive communication? Why is the press minimizing this story? Get pictures and more when you subscribe to After Dark. This month, see the absolutely stunning Julia set at 780 feet across. It is, without a doubt, the most awesome crop circle to date. It's all in the After Dark newsletter. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505. For only $39.95, you'll get 2 free issues, 14 for the price of 12. This month, you'll also read about sleep paralysis, subliminal seduction, can advertisers control you against your will, and angels. The number to subscribe is 1-888-727-5505, or log on to artbell.com and hit the library link to the secure server to order After Dark.
Daddy, no crime, 'cause if you get wrong, you'll get right next time.
Wanna
take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Real pirate broadcasts captured on tape. Real pirate broadcasts coming up in a moment. They're going to be more than you think they are. It's pretty wild stuff, and it's right here.
Want more TV for your money? Call Dish Network and get 117 channels for a shocking $9 a month when you buy any system for $199 or more. It's just $9 a month for the first year for great channels like Disney, TNT, ESPN, and more. Plus, installation is free. Try getting that from your cable company. For the most TV for just $9 a month, Dish is it. Call 1-800-333-DISH. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice.
Buying gold themselves. In fact, this year, while the average stock fund is down 14%, gold, on the other hand, is already up over 7%. That's why I need you to call Lear Financial right now and request their gold profit guide and their new audio seminar demonstrating how interest rate cuts are setting the stage for the next gold rally. This material is a $29 value, but mention my name, Art Bell. Guess what? They send it to you free of charge. Simply call 888-474-4259. Folks, I personally benefited, and I don't want you to miss out. So call now, 888-474-4259. That's 888-474-4259. All right, here we go. What I'm going to do very quickly, just before I bring Andrew back on, is play a couple of clips. These are actual pirate broadcasts, very short clips that you're about to hear, but these are actual pirate broadcasts. Here we go.
Just when you thought it was safe to stop by your shortwave radio, you are listening to the special Halloween edition of Radio Comedy Club International, the fun one.
Okay, so there was one pirate IDing, sort of, I say. Here's another.
You're tuned into WKZP KZAP. 7.415 on the shortwave band.
7.145?
415.
415. And that is a very common... Everybody's asking on the computer here, what frequencies can you generally hear these broadcasts on? What range?
Not so much around 74.15 anymore. Now it's more around 69.55. And it's kind of interesting because while we were on break, a pirate came up on 69.55.
Really?
He-Man Radio. and he's doing a special Art Bell broadcast.
He-Man Radio?
Yep.
Just a minute here. I can get to 69.55?
Yep.
Let's see, I can get there. Let's see, is he really there right now? Is he on sideband or AM?
Sideband.
On lower sideband?
Upper.
Upper sideband. I can do that. All right, let me see if I can hear anybody here. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, he's there.
By golly, I hear him. All right, listen, this next clip is that long clip that I would like to play for everybody. This is really interesting, very creative on somebody's part. Tell us about this, what we're going to hear.
This is from The Voice of Laryngitis, and this is a pirate that broadcasted through the 80s, pretty much a little bit into the 90s, but mostly in the 80s, and they were just hobbyists, just shortwave hobbyists, and they weren't professional broadcasters, and they didn't have an audio background or anything. They did this all on their own.
They did this all on their own. Very creative stuff, folks. Listen very carefully. This is pretty wild stuff. Let's see. It's number 5. Okay. Here we go. You can tell they love the FCC.
Now, Pirate Busters present the case of the radio pusher who destroys young American lives for his own gain. Pirate Busters, presented in cooperation with Federal Communication Commission field offices in every city of the United States of America.
Right.
The land of the free, home of the brave. Pirate Busters, the only national program to bring you authentic FCC case histories. Pirate Busters, an American crusade against criminal radio communications. Opens in the local FCC field office in Anytown, USA, where Tommy, the kid next door, is discussing a matter of life and death with FCC field office director Jay Heaver.
Gee, Mr. Heaver, I don't know where to begin.
We have a saying here at the FCC, Tommy. Begin at the very beginning.
Yes, sir. At first, the universe was one big atom. Then... and that was called the Big Bang.
Yes, we picked up the radio signals from that on our Super Heterodyne Electric Radio Wave Detector and Direction Finder, the SERWDADF for short. This device can pinpoint the location of a child's walkie-talkie as far away as Planet X. We've determined the location to be at the exact center of the universe.
Wow!
We believe this to be a natural phenomenon and have closed the books on the Big Bang broadcaster after 17 years of intensive investigation.
But, Mr. Heaver, can I tell you about Bob now?
That's what I'm here for, kid.
One day after school, Bob and I were walking to football practice. Gee, Bob. I hope I can be an all-state quarterback like you. Get back in those steroids, kid. Hey, isn't that the guy that hangs around the schoolyard? I bet he sells pornography or cigarettes.
Oh, right. Get down. I'm your friend, Uncle Mal, but I want to show you what's happening.
Just ignore him, Bob. Maybe he'll go away.
Ah, don't be such a square, Tommy.
You guys into... radio?
Yeah, we listen to it all the time. Listening is out of it. What is cool is broadcasting. Feast your eyes on this.
What is it?
What it is a Mr. Microphone, my friend. Just tune your radio to an empty frequency, turn it on, and instant DJ.
That's right. I don't think you should, Bob.
Hey, baby, feel lucky. Wow, this is great.
Like it, Bob? You keep it. Just remember your friend, Uncle Mouth, when you need batteries or something with that nuclear more power, if you know what I mean.
Then something really awful started happening to Bob, Mr. Heaver.
J. Eager Heaver had heard this story billions and billions of times before. This Uncle Mouth was just another of that breed of scum sucker. The radio pusher. This slimy piece of crud will give an innocent teenager a so-called legal transmitter with a few milliwatts of power. Before the poor kid realizes what is happening to him, he's hooked. Soon, a few milliwatts doesn't give him propagation he needs, so he gets a transmitter that runs on AC current. This is called mainlining. 1 watt, 10 watts, 100 watts. Soon, the intense radio waves eat up the brain, and the pirate dies a hideous death.
Then he quit the football team, started wearing really strange clothing, and he even uses bad grammar. He doesn't want to be called Bob anymore. He claims his name is Dr. Hot Dog. He's so far gone. To support his habit, he shoplifts, deals in drugs, even sells advertising.
Tommy, your friend is sick. From the sounds of it, he may spend years, maybe the rest of his life, in a sanitarium. That's if we get to him in time.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the tracks...
Okay, just let me fire an electron through my pajama, make a broadcast.
I know you, Bunk, no money and no tube.
Please, I've given you all the money I saved for college. I've given you my car. I've even given you my letter jacket. I have nothing left.
You haven't given me your sister Margaret.
There was still one shred of decency left in Bob's radio desecrated mind.
No, you scumbag!
Bob picked up the heaviest thing he could find, the current volume of FCC regulations, and Uncle Mouth fell dead.
I got my 6146 electron tube. But Mr. Heaver, it took several hours.
All that paperwork is necessary because it's the law. And if it wasn't for paperwork, the FCC wouldn't be what it is today.
I never thought about it like that before. Hey, there's Bob's house.
Look at all those illegal radio antennas. Disgusting. Hand me that machine gun, kid.
Machine gun? You're not going to shoot Bob.
Maybe the kindest thing.
Then suddenly, from within the house...
That's Margaret, Bob's sister.
Tommy and Field Director Heaver followed the scream into Bob's bedroom. They were not prepared for what they saw.
No matter how many times I see something like this, I'm never prepared for what I see.
On the carpet lay the smoldering corpse of...
Bob!
Next to the bloody body of...
Bloody!
His radio-desecrated mind must have thought that Fluffy the cat was his radio transmitter. Look, he split the cat's head open trying to force that 6146B tube in it. The blood must have gushed all over, soaking Bob And then when the blood hit the power transformer in his real transmitter, the electricity cremated the outer five layers of his skin and caused his head to explode, spraying brains all over. What a horrible way to die.
Oh, Bob!
Oh, brother!
So ends the career of Uncle Mouth, the radio pusher. This is a true story, but it could happen to your son, your daughter, or your cat. Know and watch for the four radio addict warning signs. 1, clothes that smell like burnt solder. 2, a sudden interest in electronics. 3, spending an abnormal amount of money at Radio Shack. 4, asking for a tape recorder for Christmas. If you notice any or all of the warnings, call the FCC field office nearest you and call your minister and pray, Mom and Dad, that it's not too late.
Hi, kids. This is FCC field officer J. Eager Heaver. You can be a pirate buster, too. Here's how.
Calling all junior pirate busters. Calling all junior pirate busters. Be on the lookout for public radio enemy number 1, the so-called Voice of America, also known as Radio Free Europe and AFRTS. This illegal broadcaster claims to be a legitimate outlet of the United States Information Services. It is rumored that they broadcast information about the United States to the commies and other enemies of the United States. The Voice of America uses several different frequencies to try to avoid capture. The first broadcast noted by the FCC was February 16th of this year. Do not attempt to apprehend. I repeat, do not attempt to apprehend. Suspect is high-powered and very boring. If you hear the Voice of America, contact the FCC field office nearest you. That is all.
Anyway,
tune in next time when Pirate Busters presents the case of the 1,000-mile cordless telephone.
The 1,000-mile cordless telephone. And there they go, tromping off into this. So in other words, Andrew, this guy was sticking, he was poking a stick at the snake. He was going after the FCC and the Voice of America and just about every institution around. Now, how wise was that? In other words, to be virtually taunting the Federal Communications Commission.
Well, it was a slicker way of taunting than a lot of people have done.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I mean, it's shaking your finger at the snake, you know, about to bite you.
Yeah, and for the most part, it seems to be a bad thing to do because, this one, I don't know, the FCC agents might have enjoyed this, but it does seem like they hold grudges against stations that,
yes.
That say the wrong things.
They do that. So if they were to actually lay their hands on this guy, he probably would be in for a very extremely rough ride, especially if an FCC field officer... I mean, there's not many ways they can take that other than a direct insult.
Yeah, there was one station that referred to the FCC as pinheads on the air occasionally.
Oh.
And whenever that station was raided, one of the FCC agents made a comment about being pinheads.
Oh, did
so
you?
Knew
really?
That they were listening.
Well, I'm sure they do, and I'm sure they're normal human beings, these FCC field officers, and they might leave you alone if you're not sticking your finger in their face and calling them names. But on the other hand, if you taunt them, then it does seem like they, after all, have the resources of the taxpayer, the government behind them, and if they really want to find you, I presume if you broadcast long enough, they're going to find you, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really not that hard to direction find somebody. I know of people who have just people with a regular radio that have found stations. But the problem is sending somebody out from their field office and getting that station while it's on the air.
Now, the commission doesn't have as much money to do that kind of thing as they once had. Budgets have been cut and so forth, haven't they?
Yes, they have. And then there's a lot more that they have to worry about. There's a lot more cell phone activity and potential interference there, and just a lot of electronic devices, all the computer devices, everything that they have to worry about now. That really, pirate radio is a low priority, although I think it's probably a little higher than it should be.
Now, listen carefully to what this guy says, just in part. No. We already heard that one. Here we go. No, that isn't what I want either. Here we go. This
is solid, but the Federal Communications Commission was at the front door, and I told her to come back.
No, without sticking with that, that was a guy saying the FCC's at my front door, right?
Yeah, that was a joke, though.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Have there ever been broadcasts that have been interrupted by knocking at the door or the sound of machine guns or anything like that?
No machine guns, but there have been... Excuse me, there have been times where the FCC showed up and you can hear the station being raided in the background. Not so much lately, but there have been a few. That was more like in the 70s and the 80s that happened a few times. And sometimes the FCC will read a prepared statement over the air.
Oh, you mean on the pirate station?
Yeah, which is kind of strange because they've actually told pirates to turn the transmitter on and they would read a broadcast. So really... they are effectively broadcasting illegally, but...
Well, I don't know. I guess one might... Well, yeah, you're right, really. They wouldn't have any more authorization, or would they, than anybody else? Turn that station on, son. We've got to talk to you. And then they actually address the people listening?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's saying this station has been closed down by the FCC. And talking about the Communications Act for... You know, just like a minute or two. And there's one person out there who actually has a QSL from an FCC agent for a pirate broadcast.
No.
Where he was closing down a station.
Now, a QSL is a card, folks. Now, here's how much bravado these broadcasters have. Some of them you're going to hear are going to actually give out their addresses, P.O. boxes and stuff like that, which seems incredible to me. And you can write to them when you hear them and sort of identify what you heard in the broadcast. And I'll tell you what, we've got to take a very quick break. Hold on, Andrew, and we'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Art Bell and special guest George Carlin.
I love an earthquake. I love a bigger earthquake. They're never as big as I'd like. No, we need a 25. I think of it as an amusement park ride, Art. It's really, I mean, it's such a wonderful thing to realize you have absolutely no control.
George, a 25 would turn entire continents over.
Ah, now you're talking, Art.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, weeknights on this station.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. It's business as usual. Monkey business, that is.
They hooked the monkey up to electrodes and gave him a button so he could push and give himself an orgasm.
You're
once
kidding.
Every 3 minutes.
You're kidding.
No. And the monkey gave himself an orgasm once every 3 minutes for 18 hours straight.
And what was the result? I mean, did the monkey live?
Yeah, he did. The monkey lived. He fell asleep and then he woke up.
And started pushing the button.
And started all over.
So in other words, in the right kind of a society, we could put buttons on all of our women. They get out of line, you just...
You're treading on dangerous ground.
Orgasmic therapy.
Yeah.
You are on the air on the international line. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm from Scotland.
You are the first caller from Scotland. Where are you, please?
I'm in Madrid, Spain.
In Madrid, Spain. On the international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Mario from South Africa, Cape Town.
On the international line, you're on the air. Where are you, please?
Oslo, Norway.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Coast to Coast and worldwide.
You've got your radio on, don't you? Turn your radio off.
Is this ARP?
Yes, it is. Extinguish your radio, please.
Okay, just a second.
Yes, turn your radio off.
Who's this?
What's your best guess?
Are you Art Bell?
No, I'm Harry. Turn off the radio. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Who am I calling?
Well, now, with regard to who you're calling, you would know more about that than I would.
I was trying to reach Art Bell.
Uh-huh. Who do you think you've reached?
Oh, I have no idea. So who? So
well, you wanted what kind of pizza?
Oh, I don't want any pizza. No, thanks.
You did order one, anchovies, right?
No anchovies. I can't stand anchovies.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Be sure to turn your radio off, know who you're calling, and know who you are.
Are you sure you're canceling this order, then?
No pizza.
All right. Well, all right, fine.
If you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter right now, you'll see some of the most recent crop circles that have Art Bell all worked up. We may actually have made contact with extraterrestrials. See the pictures in another great issue of After Zark. The September issue features a guest editorial from Dreamland host Whitley Strieber, a picture of the stunning Julia Set Fractal crop circle, Dr. Sky updates, quickening news, of course, subliminal seduction, angels, and much more. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505, and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. The number once again, 1-888-727-5505, or subscribe online at artbell.com. Hit the library link to the secure server to order your subscription to After Dark.
Take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nod.
This is I.F. Bird. For the next 60 seconds, Radio Clandestine will conduct a test of the Universal Spaceship and Flying Machine Imperative Locator. This includes all UFOs. This is only a test. Please calibrate all SkyNav settings now. Of the Universal Spaceship and Flying Machine Imperative Motion. This includes all UFOs. This was just a test. We now resume regular programming on your pirate bootleg station, Radio Clandestine.
Would you like to feel 10 years younger?
Hi, this is Bob Crane from the C. Crane Company, and I'd like to tell you about our CC radio.
the CC radio will pick up more stations than you ever had before, and the stations you listen to now will come in clearer, and the sound is rich and truthful for the best human voice possible. Popular Science confirms it is the ultimate tabletop radio, and I personally guarantee that the CC radio is the best radio you can own for news, talk, and sports. You can learn more about the CC radio by getting our free catalog that tells all about the CC radio, plus dozens of other unique items. You can give us a call right now at 800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
The CC radio is just $159.95, including shipping. That number again for more information or the free C. Crane Company catalog is 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863 and on the internet at ccradio.com.
You heard it. Parents who love their children switch to GEICO. If you'd like to see the light in a young child's eyes, not to mention possible savings of 15% or more, call 1-800-947-AUTO. 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO Direct, the sensible alternative.
Remember, everybody, this is for entertainment purposes only. This is not meant to encourage anybody to do anything illegal ever under any circumstances. But it is a reality of life out there. Nobody else has ever broadcasted it, so I thought, what the hell? And what the hell must be Andrew's attitude, too, because at the bottom of what he sent me, it says, philosophy of life. I eat cereal, therefore I am. Is that your philosophy?
Well, maybe not quite.
I like it anyway. So, all right. These signals we've discussed can travel as far away as around the world. It's really easy and can be very cheap to put one of these stations on the air. The FCC would like to catch, but doesn't actively seem to go after these shortwave pirates so much, but they do go after the FM pirates, don't they?
Yes, they do. I don't recall exactly what the specifics are, but I believe it's somewhere in the hundreds of FM pirates that have been raided in the past 3 years.
Hundreds. That's a pretty serious number, so they're really going after money. One of the questions that you wanted to be asked here, I really want to ask. I'm really, you could say, into commercial radio, since right now we're on, you know, like 512 stations or something like that. My question is, in what ways can commercial radio be made better? And so how would you answer that?
Well, that one's kind of a big question, but there are a lot of different ways, I think. For most of the FM stations these days, it seems like there are a lot of, just about every format is a top 40 kind of format, whether it's, if it's country, it's current top 40 hits for the country market. If it's album rock, it's top 40 album rock. If it's oldies, it's top 40 oldies. There's really, you don't hear too many of the, too many other bands, you don't hear too many local bands. There's very little live music. There's a lot of things I think that could be done that are really pretty simple that would make radio a whole lot better.
Well, radio is a business. Radio follows the money. And so if you're going to change radio, you've got to change where the money is or, you know, where you can get the money. Because that's really, at the bottom line, what it's all about is money, right?
Yep.
Commercial broadcasting is about money. And so if you were going to really change it,
revolutionize it, a true revolution, you'd have to remove the money part of it.
Yeah, I think that really the revolution has gone kind of the other way when the restrictions were lightened on how many stations a particular company could own in a market and nationwide.
I worked for one of those companies. Now, listen, there's as far as shortwave pirates are concerned, there's really no age barrier, is there?
No. I know of stations that have been probably about the youngest, maybe about 12 or so.
Let's see if we can gauge the age of this broadcaster.
This is KRZY. We just got a special bulletin handed to me. There is little green men attacking people all over the town. They're called gremlins. What's that? What is that? What are they? Oh, it's gremlins!
How old do you think that one was?
I believe he was 11, but 11. He wasn't running it himself. I believe his father was the guy who was actually the main pirate.
But he got on the microphone.
Yeah, and then he would let his son broadcast.